just to lay inside your grace, just to feel you in my heart at this time, in this place, there is peace in every breath as my mind dwells on your name.
Beloved Babaji, I can't express in words what I'm feeling. My heart is not fitting inside my chest anymore. Today, during the free flow, I connected with a very special space. I felt all my traumas and my past being cured. I felt wings coming out of my body. I felt forgiveness. I felt surrendered. I felt like I was born again. For a moment, I relived the moment of my sannyas, which I thought I didn't remember. But everything was really clear and real to me now. Beloved, I surrender. I surrender to my heart, to life, to love. I surrender to all your light. I'm done with teaspoons. I want the whole waterfall. With all my heart, Chitti. Chitti. You see how good it was you came here now? You wanted to come before also, but now was the right time. Everything has its time, no? And long times, you were just very, very little when you got sannyas. You remember that? How old you were then? Four, no? And they say you don't remember before 4 or 5 years old. So maybe that is your first memory. What a memory? Huh?
Yes.
What a good start on life. And now you remember again. Now it's a new beginning now, Chitti. You're coming closer. Okay, now the fun starts, okay? You ready?
Yes. Hmm?
I've been waiting for you now. No, it's going to be ice cream. And that's why I have many different meditations. This free flow I just put together because it's just spontaneous. And that's how meditation should be, just effortless, no? You just let go. And when you let go, then it happens. When you get out of the way, you just become energy. Then it clicks. Because it's always available, but normally we are so busy, no? That you don't remember, really. I have to stop you, then you remember.
Others have appeared. answer to my call. In ignorance and fear, I sabotage them all. But from you, I could not turn.
Beloved Babaji, in the inquiry today, the question was, what do you avoid feeling? I answered it each time I was asked in different ways. The third time, I struck upon what I have avoided feeling, or the feeling I have avoided acting upon for a long time. The feeling to ask you for something. Then in satsang the same day, I was so moved by what you said that the mind never wants sannyas. It finds excuses and worries and brings so many external factors into something so simple. Throughout the satsang, I found myself becoming more and more clear as you spoke about family, how it doesn't matter whether they don't understand. what matter is what's inside. And there is no use being angry or trying to pursue people of that. What others think is irrelevant. And so I'm so sorry for putting it off for so long. But now I ask from the bottom of my heart, I'm asking you for sannyas. Thank you for everything. This magic in the forest, the opportunity to dive inside ourselves, and for all the crazy adventures. And thank you for taking me into the sea that time when I was little. I used to be afraid of the ocean. I used to be afraid of the waves. But after that, I never felt that fear again. You teach us to jump, to trust that everything is good now, in the sea, in the forest, or in a village in England, close to the neighbor David Rhodes, who never uses his swimming pool. But wherever I am infinitely grateful to be connected with you. All my love, Lily. So, we cannot force anything, no? It has to come from our own understanding and seeing. And now you are in the right age, Lily. I've been waiting for you, as you know, but I never push anybody except into the ocean and over some cliffs. Because that doesn't help. The understanding has to come from oneself. But when you are younger, then of course the parents, the family, the society has a very strong power over you. And you think that the grown-ups know better. But as you grow up, and around me, you don't need to grow up much before you see that the grown-ups, they don't know. They are lost. They also need help. They also need to come back. But this is how it is and how it will be. The society in itself is asleep. And the only way to make a conscious society is that people become conscious, that they meditate. You cannot change the whole society, you have to change the individual. No? And that starts with you, with me, with each and everyone. Only then can there be change. And people who are asleep, they never want to have change, they want to keep sleeping. Which is understandable, because it's very nice to sleep. You don't want to be disturbed. But it is a different reality when you are awake. But that has its own challenges, to be awake. Then you have to be alert. And who is alert? Who is aware? Who is sharp, alive? Very few people. So now, when I got you, I know you understand also I wanted you to come as quick as possible because I knew, no, you cannot anymore, you are grown up now. That's how it is. I put it on a plate in front of you here when you come. In one way or the other, you have to face yourself. What do you avoid feeling? I answered it each time I was asked in different ways. The third time, I struck upon what I have avoided feeling, or the feeling I have avoided acting upon for a long time. Yes, I know, but it's okay. I'm used to waiting. You cannot push. It's like the apples, no? You cannot push them to be ripe. You just wait. And then one day, bloop. You don't even need to pick them. You just like that. Then it's organic then. Yeah? This is organic now. This feeling to ask you for something. Then in satsang the same day, I was so moved what you said, that the mind never wants sannyas. Yes, that's what's happening in satsang. Huh? People say that the whole time. I answering their questions. Without asking, you get answered. That's what Rumi says. Even if you don't understand what's happening here, just sit there for a while. That's how you get tricked into your own understanding. Then slowly, slowly, a different understanding will dawn on you. Just relax, just sit there. The mind never wants sannyas. It finds excuses and worries and brings so many external factors into something that is so simple. It's so simple, and the heart is very simple, very clear. But then we have to be in the heart. If we are just in the mind, where people are living from and listening to, then it's very difficult. Then people say, what should I do? Where should I go? How did this happen? They are confused. But as long as you listen to your heart, then it knows. The heart knows always. The mind never wants sannyas. And you see how stupid it is to worry about such a simple thing. Life is so simple. Throughout the satsang, I found myself becoming more and more clear as you spoke about family, how it doesn't matter whether they don't understand. Yeah. What matter is that you understand. That's all what's matter. People cannot understand what they haven't experienced. It's an inner experience. It's impossible. And the more tight they are, the more identified with the mind they are, the more difficult it is, because the more narrow they are. So then they are afraid. Anything that is outside the norms, they are afraid of. And then, instead of being excited about something new, wow, that's amazing, I see a new light in your eyes. Then they say, no, that is no good. Don't do that. They judge you instead. That is how the mind functions. Instead of expanding, you judge something that you don't understand. only by going deeper into a different side of yourself, which you don't know. That is self-exploring, opening your mind, your heart, opening to life. Then you expand, then you start learning. But instead, people are stuck, stagnant. Then they don't see, they don't want to see. And that is the problem, how it has gone with all these so-called grown-up people. They're just stuck, they're just stagnant. They don't grow anymore. And that is how most of the families are. That's why, that's the fact. Of course, once in a blue moon you find a family that even the parents also are seekers, are open, are not stuck in their role as a father, as a mother in society. They are not afraid of the neighbors, of the church, of the religion, of all these things. They already are stepped outside, but that is very few. Very lucky, those who have those parents. Otherwise, they have always some belief, and that's how people are not growing. And for thousands of years it has been like that. It doesn't matter where on your planet you are, you are getting stuck into the role of the society, of the family, of the religion, of the belief. And you have to be very courageous to break out. Here, if you meet someone like me, if you are so lucky to come to satsang, you don't need that much courage because you just see it. You see the whole game of it, so it's an organic thing. It just happens because it's so simple. But with effort, it's very difficult. And remember, anything done with effort, there is not much understanding. When there is a deep understanding from your being, from your heart, from your soul, then it's very simple, it's organic, it's smooth. What matter is what's inside. And there is no use being angry or trying to persuade people of that. What others think is irrelevant. Yes, it doesn't matter at all. And in a way that, again and again, I tell you that that is the first thing, that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, and especially about you. And most people, when you look at it, or you look at yourself, you are still a slave of what other people think, what they think about you, and then you get locked into the same unconscious game. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you grow, you live, you expand, you flower, and that you can only do out of your own being, out of your own understanding. And then you will grow past almost everybody. Be that friends, society, parents, family, or whatever. Because most people are stagnant. That's why also as you change, friends will also change. Your interests will also change. Your life will change. And every change is a challenge to grow. I'm so sorry for putting it off for so long. Don't worry, I understand. We are best of friends, how can you be sorry? No, from the bottom of my heart, I'm asking you for sannyas. Good, enough is enough. Cheers to that. Good, nice, finished. Good is finished, no Lily. No more adventures happening now. Are you ready? What? What? Yes. What? Already we have been many nice adventures together, no? Thank you for everything, the magic of this forest, the opportunity to dive inside ourselves, and for all the crazy adventures. Thank you for taking me into the sea that time when I was little. Though I'm still little. No, you're not so little now. How old you were that time I took you into the waves?
Six,
no? I remember. I took you to the beach and then I said, now we go in, have a dip. We've been walking over the cliffs, no? And then we were all hot and like that. And then you said, no, no, no. And I felt, no. I'm afraid of the ocean, of the waves, you said. And then you retreated, just like the cat does when it comes to the water. Then I just picked you up and started running down the beach. And then you tried to resist. No, no, you said in my ear, no, no. And you, but it was beyond survival. No, no retreat. Then Yahoo. And then little fear more. And then I just held you like that, and then slowly, slowly I turned you into a little dolphin. That's how it's done. That's the good way. You have to just do it. I used to be afraid of the waves, but after that I never felt that fear again. That's what I'm teaching, to go into the unknown. You have to face your fears, and you do it with me, you'd face it, and we're having fun at the same time. What could be better than that? So many people, they have fear, no? Then you can have fun with the fear, no? Because fear is very exciting. Especially when you are with me. I'm a wild man. You teach us to jump, to trust that everything is good now. In the sea, in the forest, in the village, in England. Even the neighbor, David Rhodes, who never uses his swimming pool. That poor Dave. We have to have compassion with him. Because he thinks he has everything. And then he never even uses his swimming pool. It's very sad. He must have been saving his whole life, having a lot of money, having swimming pool. He's the big shot of the village. You people, you don't know, but we have something going in her village in England. I know all the neighbors there by now because a long time she's been telling me. And Dave Rhodes, he has a swimming pool, but he never uses it. It's very sad. And when she was little, then I asked if it's frozen in the winter, and sometimes it's cold enough to freeze. Then I told her, naughty thing, you have to go there and skate on his swimming pool. I don't know if she did, because most probably you need my help. Then if we come together, then we will do it. Wherever I am infinitely grateful to be connected with you. All my love, Lily. That you are, Lily. I will tell you a joke. The story is that Dave Rhodes got so bored by living in his big house, even though he had everything, money, fame, acknowledgement from all the people. He behaved totally perfect, like a British gentleman, with a little stiff upper lip. But still, for some reason, he was getting bored. So he decided he wanted to sail around the world. But then he hadn't come far, of course, because he was not such a good sailor. So the boat tipped over. He managed to swim into the island. And by surprise, a beautiful native girl came and said she would look after him. On the first night, she gives him the most exotic drinks. On the second night, she feeds him the most delicious food imaginable. Dave is very happy. On the third night, she says to him, "Now, would you like to play some games with me now, Dave?" "Don't tell me," says Dave, "that you have got football hair as well." Some people just miss out.
Your heart. you say? Are you gonna throw the chance away? Or listen to the music? Or listen to the music in your heart?
Dear beloved Master Swaha, it is so amazing to be in the retreat again with you and the Sangha. I'm going deeper and deeper in myself and enjoy more and more your presence and love. So many insights are coming and I'm opening up more and more to existence. I could finally understand the ancient sutra of the Buddha, the Diamond Sutra, the crazy teaching. Some insights come to me, like, to be a Buddha, you have to realize there is no Buddha. The true self is no self. There is no Dharma, because the real Dharma cannot be written or cannot be defined. The mark of the Buddha has no mark. Finally, I'm waking up from a long, long time asleep. I'm ready to disappear into your infinite love and to be crushed by your compassion. Until there is no more me. Eternal gratitude and love, your disciple Dasan. You are back now, Dasan. What have you been so busy with? In Holland, huh?
Yeah.
Working?
Yeah.
Huh? You see, you can be busy like working all life, no? But it's a different, it's a separate reality, no? You've been asleep?
Yes.
Sleep and weep and working at the same time. With all the sleepy Dutch people.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, all the sleepy Dutch people, yeah. Yes. I was missing you, Dasan, especially when we went to Ladakh. No, I was thinking, why? Where is this Dasan? This is in the mountains. Don't miss Dasan. It's happening now. You see now how good it is when you're plugged in again. What can hold you back now in this space? You have to remember. And of course, when you are here, then insights are coming. You become more and more clear. That's how it is. You're close to the fire. And many people, they are away, they forget more and more. Then it's not so important. Then it can go years and years and years. Then you come back and you say, my God. It's happening now. I could finally understand the ancient sutra of the Buddha, the Diamond Sutra. You know that the Diamond Sutra is the oldest written scripture in the world, printed. Did you know that? Is this the first printed scripture in the whole world? That is really something, because it's maybe the one of the most important. So in China they had this, and this was the first thing they managed to print. But already it must be 1,000 years since Buddha, no? But they took so good care of it from generation to generation. Just imagine how difficult it is to write down something that was said more than 1,000 years ago. They kept it very alive. And the Diamond Sutra, the diamond is like indestructible, no? That's what the diamond, when you think about the diamond, no? Diamond lasts forever, no? So this is how the Dharma is. The Buddha Dharma, and remember, the Buddha Dharma is not from one person. All enlightened beings are Buddha. No? We all have Buddha nature. So that Dharma is in everyone. But we have forgotten the truth. No? We have forgotten God. We have forgotten the true self. So the Buddha Dharma is the path back. No? And this Diamond Sutra, it cuts through the illusions. I remember when I came to Osho, he was talking about this Diamond Sutra in the beginning when I was there, and it totally blew me away. And he said that every 2,500 years, there is a new turning of the Dharma, of the truth, eternal truth. And Buddha, that was Buddha did. And now, after 2,500 years, that's what he did. He started this wheel again. A new teaching. It's the same teaching, but it's a new design. Because you cannot think about the way Buddha was teaching then. The world has changed. So you needed a new world teacher. And Buddha, his way was more negative, cutting everything. More like that. He even said, which I love, you too will die. How can you quarrel? How can you fight? Because if you remember, you too will die. What are you wasting your time with? Wake up. Go deeper. Go beyond. Osho's way was life. Life affirmative. So it comes to the same, but it's different approach, no? The truth is the same, but there's many parts of the mountain. Some insights came, like to be Buddha, you have to realize there is no Buddha. Yes. But this you realize only when you are a Buddha. To be Buddha, you have to realize there is no Buddha. But only a Buddha can realize there is no Buddha. it doesn't work for the mind, no? The true self is no self. There is no self, or the no self is the true self. Same thing. And nobody has gone maybe so deep in the science of enlightenment as Buddha. They talk about the self, no? But then the ego have something to hold on to also. You go from the little self to the true self, still you are there. The way Ramana Maharshi talks about the self with capital S. But that self in reality is no self. There's nobody there. But it's been so ingrained in the Indian. Buddha, he broke all the rules of the old tradition. He was talking about there's no self. Atman is the biggest, is the real. To find the Atman, to find your true self. But your true self is the universal self. So in that way, is no self. The true self is no self. There is no Dharma because the real Dharma cannot be written and cannot be defined. Yes. There is nothing. But because we cannot understand Buddha, we cannot understand non-being, we cannot understand the true self, we cannot understand the Dharma, the Buddha has to talk, hinting. The truth can never be given through the words, but it's a hinting. And the more you come close to your own Buddha nature, then you understand. You will understand all the scriptures, no matter how they are being expressed, if it comes from an enlightened being. Finally, I'm waking up from a long, long time asleep, and I'm ready to disappear into your infinite love and to be crushed by your compassion until there is no more me. No, if it's no more you, then there is only love, only compassion. Let me crush you, Dasan. Eternal gratitude and love, your disciple Dasan. And one thing is for sure, to become the Buddha, you have to wake up from this sleep. This Diamond Sutra, it goes on and on. One of the things, it just points straight to the source. All conditioned phenomena are like a dream, an illusion, a bubble, a shadow, like dew or a flash of lightning. Thus we shall perceive them. He's saying that everything you think you are, this whole life, are like a dream, is an illusion, a bubble, a shadow. So don't get attached to it. He's reminding us, don't get caught in the games of shadows, in the appearance of dreams, in illusions. It is like dew or flash of lightning. It's there, suddenly it's gone. What have you done? What have you done with this precious gift as a human life? Most people, they never think about it. Maybe on that deathbed. Only intelligent people, meditators, start asking these questions, no? Like a dew or flash of lightning. Thus we shall perceive them. Remember, he's talking to his disciple. It's not to the masses. They don't understand that. The masses, they have all their problems. They are attached to all their dreams, all the illusions, all the phantoms. You cannot talk to the masses. This is for the insiders. This is for his disciples. It is Buddha to his disciple Subhuti, just like Krishna and Arjuna. It's direct. You have to start with the beginning. You cannot understand this in the beginning. It's very deep. It's for somebody who is totally with Buddha, who already has come far in the meditation. Thus we shall perceive them. Remember, this is how he tells his disciple. This is how you should look at the world. Don't get caught up. Be aware. Because again and again, the dreams, the illusions, the shadows, it's trying to catch you. It's trying to get you involved, to get you confused. What is important is that you realize your Buddha nature. So many lives you have spent. No, if you are so lucky to sit in front of the Buddha, wake up, take the opportunity. That's why they say he repeated himself 3 times also, because maybe it will go in 1 time, 2 times, 3 times. And not only that, but every day. So the Diamond Sutra, it just is a diamond. The Dhammapada of Buddha is much more popular and much more read, because there he gives out step by step. It's a map that you can understand. So in that way, it's much more beautiful, because people can really understand his language. This saying is just like a Zen saying. It is not. It is beyond. He's talking totally from the beyond. That is the truth. But how to get there? You have to work on yourself so you are ripe enough, conscious enough, deep enough to understand what he's talking about. That only happens master-disciple, by coming closer to, by letting the old you go, evaporating. In the Dhammapada, he says, he starts with, we are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. And that's what a master has to remind you all the time, because you are so identified with your thinking, with your thoughts, and never as much as these days. People are just in the head. They have totally forgotten their true nature. And this is 2,500 years ago. Still it was difficult. Still you needed Buddha to remind you. And only in the closeness, in the climate of the Buddha, did you remember, did you have the extra light and courage to go beyond your own mind. We are what we think. all that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts, we make the world. You create your own world. You can see. Many times here you come, you are full of yourself, with your thoughts, with the problem. And then suddenly, wow, what a beautiful world. What a magic. I have wings. Something else takes over. You remember something deeper in your own being. That is totally forgotten in the mind, in the surface. Speak or act with an impure mind and trouble will follow you. And everybody speak or act with an impure mind. In fact, the mind itself is impure, it's confused. Only by not being identified with the mind that you are coming from your clarity, your heart, which I call the heart, not the emotional heart, but your spiritual heart, yourself, then you act out of truth. You speak out of truth. Otherwise, everything will be lies. Speak or act with an impure mind and trouble will follow you. And of course, trouble will follow you because you are creating that yourself. Out of your unclarity, you are making a mess for yourself. And then you ask, how did this happen? How did I get here? What is the meaning of this? You still don't have the intelligence, the depth to cut through. You yourself is creating it. Wake up. Don't be asleep. We are what we think. All that we are arises with our thoughts. With our thoughts we make the world. Speak or act with a pure mind. With your heart, and happiness will follow you as your shadow, unshakable. This is the transformation when I talk about from the negative to the positive. In the unconscious, you are only negative. You are locked in this vicious circle all the time, creating problems for yourself and, of course, for others. That consciousness can be changed by becoming more aware, by meditation. Then you start living, acting, speaking out from the truth, from your heart, clean. Then everything changes. Then only goodness will follow you. As it was darkness following you before, now light will follow you. More and more, as you become cleaner, more truthful, more golden, the more light will follow, the more beauty will follow, the more peace will follow. Happiness will follow you. As your shadow, unshakable. And this Dhammapada, it means the eternal truth, the path to God, to truth. Buddha doesn't talk about God, but the ultimate truth. In this world, hate never yet dispelled hate. Hate never yet dispelled hate. And how long have we been in this world? Hundreds of thousands of years, millions of years. And still we haven't understood, still we go on hating, projecting, comparing, fighting. In this world, hate never yet dispelled hate. Buddha says, only love, dispels hate. That is what I say also. Only love is the healer. Love heals everything. It transforms everything. Because love is God. That's your essence. Only love dispels hate. This is the law, ancient and inexhaustible. This is the eternal law. Only this saying will give you peace if you start following it. You too shall pass away. Knowing this, how can you quarrel? How can you fight? You too will die. We will all disappear. What are you doing? Wasting your life. Creating fuss, lies, cheating, comparing, competition, trickiness, hurt. Wake up. You too will disappear. What have you done? How have you lived? How can you quarrel? How can you fight? This is the amazing thing for the awakened one to see, because they know. Then they know how beautiful life can be and how simple it can be. And then they look in this state that people are, and how much conflict, self-created conflict by being unconscious. How easily the wind overturns a frail tree. Seek happiness in the senses, in the ego, indulge in food and sleep, in unconsciousness, and you too will be uprooted. You will be uprooted, and what happens when a tree is uprooted? It will just wither away. It has no more juice. It has no more contact to Mother Earth. That's what happens with people also. They lose contact with their own being. Then they become dry, zombies. The wind cannot overturn a mountain. Temptation cannot touch the man who is awake, strong and humble, who masters himself and minds the law, who is following the eternal law, who is following existence, who is in harmony with the whole. The wind cannot overturn the mountain. And the same with the man who is in tune. He is one. He is unshakable. No temptation, no greed can touch that man who is awake, strong and humble. Strong in the way of his being, he has come back to himself. And when you come back to your own being, to your own heart, nothing can tempt you, because you have something that is so good that nothing can touch it. You are free. If a man's thoughts are muddy, confused, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? And the Buddha, his disciple, wore the yellow robe. So he says, how can you be a disciple? How can you follow the path, the good path, the eternal Dharma? How can you follow that? How can you be a sannyasin? If your thoughts are muddy, if you are confused, it just shows that you are not devoted to the path. You are still doing your own thing. Then don't even put on the robe. And for a sannyasin here, it's even more a challenge. Because no rules, no regulations, but it's the same. It's not easy to come back to yourself. Don't fool yourself. Only if you are dedicated to that, to the Dharma, to the truth, to your own heart, to the light. Otherwise the mind will deceive you. The ego will trick you again and again and again. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? How can he be a sannyasin? How can he be a disciple? Whoever is a master of his own nature, who has come back, his meaning, who has come back to his own heart, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. Somebody who is dedicated, somebody who is real. There is no more conceived, any more lies, any more conflict. He's one with the Master, with the Buddha. He's listening, he's hearing, he's seeing. Whoever is a master of his own nature, who has found his own dwelling place in his own self, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. He is the true sannyasin, he is the true disciple. Otherwise it can just be a show, which it has become all over the world. You see people in the East, you see so many in the yellow robe. They are not bright. They are not masters of their own nature. Very seldom you come across somebody, a Buddhist monk, who is really, really clean. It's the inner revolution. You cannot just follow a recipe like that. It is expected from society that you go and become a monk. Then what will be the outcome? If you just want to play on the PlayStation and go to the pub, and then the family force you into, and you cannot say no, because that is the family, that is society, that is religion. Then you become a monk. How much interest does he have? How intelligent is that person to go into meditation? Then they become full of deceit, of lies, waiting to come back. This is an individual journey. It's not so easy just to get the name or to get the robe or to say something. It is an inner transformation. If a man's thoughts are muddy, if he is reckless and full of deceit, how can he wear the yellow robe? He will never get transformed. Whoever is a master of his own nature, who followed the heart, bright, clear, and true, he may indeed wear the yellow robe. He, the Buddha, the Master, is supporting, is always with, because they are total. They are there to follow the word, the teaching, the good path. Be steady and be committed. Aum Shanti. how good Buddha is. He always comes up for me in when we start silence and in the Vipassana, because that was his main technique, no? And it's all the technique you need if you are content in yourself, if you really listen, if you are sensitive. Then just stay in yourself, stay in your heart, be in your breath, relax, find peace. Aum Shanti.